from the El Pacifico in Southern California, Phil Harry.
Well, that was really,
Really what?
That wasn't very energetic. I think you could have, And now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray.
That wasn't very energetic either. And by the way, Margaret, you know...
What do you mean it wasn't energetic?
By the way, it doesn't count if you go, I'm Margaret Gray. That doesn't add any of the oomph that you think it does, so...
Is that so?
That's so. I can tell it's been a three-day weekend for the most part when we come in here, and Margaret, you sound like, but forgive me for saying this.
Phil, don't do it.
Well, I'll say it. You sound like you just rolled out of bed.
You know something?
That doesn't mean that you're a whore.
No, excuse me.
Okay, so thanks, General.
No, I'm sorry. I don't mean to. I'm tired of pussyfooting around with her. She sounds like she just rolled out of the sack.
God, that sounds like she makes her living on her back.
I can take that from him, but not from you.
Come here.
Come on, not this early, all right? I don't want to have to kill somebody this early in the day. I'd like to kind of get through a few minutes of pleasant conversation before I actually have to commit homicide. Now, if you're watching on Phil TV in HD, you will see there five people on the screen. That is from the Festival Supreme the other night, the Drunk History event that we attended. Duncan Trussell on the far left, a very funny guy who has a wildly popular webcast and a podcast, I should say, and a very nice man. The legendary Lisa Loeb there, who is a Phil Henry Show fan. I only found that out Saturday night as we were backstage in the green room.
Oh, what kind of... Now, this was at the Shrine Auditorium, correct?
Yeah, weren't you there?
No, I was. I told you I wasn't there. Frank had a function we had to attend. All right?
What do you mean Frank had a function?
Frank had a function.
Yeah, don't you remember that song, There's a Function at the Junction, you know?
Yeah, I'm not there.
Frank had a party or something, right?
Yes, it was a party. But it was a professional party, and so we were not able to go to this.
Well, you missed a good time, because we went out there, and all right, in the picture there, Lisa Loeb, and then Dr. Drew... The great Dr. Drew from the Loveline show and all the other things that he does on Headline News. And then and next to him is Derek Waters, who is the producer of Drunk History, a great friend to the Phil Henry Show and a great friend to performers in general. He's one of the things about Derek, he's one of these guys that loves to promote talent, people that he likes. He will, you know, promote them in any way that he can. And so we are very grateful to him. And then you see on the right side...
Well, let me ask you a question there. Yes, we know it's you, Phil.
Right.
Now, why are your shoulders hunched up? You look like a midget.
Yeah, so we were talking about it, Mr. Henry.
What do you mean I look like a midget?
Well, we talked about this before the program, Phil. Your head is shoved down into your shoulders as if it is... I don't want to use the word, but as if you've... compressed, you know?
No, I don't know.
All right, you look like a dwarf.
Yeah, you do look like...
All right, just for the time being, let's refrain from those words.
How else do you want me to describe this?
You can say that I look like my shoulders are hunched.
No, it looks a little bit more like the young man from the Game of Thrones.
Yeah, we were thinking about the Game of Thrones.
Oh, is that... You know something? It's just everybody clam up, okay?
Well, Phil...
Now, everybody clam up. I was obviously hunching. One of the things I do in a picture, I've noticed, I don't know why I do this, but I always attempt to be the same size as everybody else. So if there are shorter people in the picture with me, I will crouch down. It's a silly thing to do because you are the size that you are. And I'm not saying that I'm a tall guy, inordinately tall, but I'm 6 feet tall, and sometimes I'm taller than, you know, other people in the picture. Now, in this picture, you see Dr. Drew is about an inch taller than me. Duncan is probably about an inch or two taller than me. The only people I'm taller than here are Derek and Lisa Loeb. Now, because I'm standing next to Derek, I do this...
You don't want to appear as if you're towering over people. It is a inferiority sense, I think you have, Phil.
It's not inferiority.
Why inferiority?
Well, you don't want to stand out.
I don't know if that's an inferiority complex or what it is, but I do tend to shrink down in pictures. I'm always shrinking down to the size of the guy that I'm standing next to, and or the woman or whoever. So I don't know what it is, and but it does tend to make me look. In that picture, you can see me hunching my shoulders. If I just stood tall, just like, hi, how you doing? I would probably be much more presentable there in a photograph.
I think this says an awful lot about your personality.
Yeah, I was going to say, Phil, this is, you know, we could get it. This is very interesting to me.
What's interesting about it?
Well, I mean, this may go to the very core of what seems to hold you back in life. You know, and
I don't think anything's holding you back, Mr. Irwin. I think you're doing fine.
Robert, that's very nice of you to say, but I think they're onto something.
Yeah, Robert, we got to get down to the point. There's no sense in licking butt and kissing the rectum. You know, I'm not kissing nobody's rectum. You, hey, get it, cut my arm.
I'm going to tear his arm off, Robert.
God damn, man. What did I do?
Why don't you shut up, okay? Kiss a guy's rectum.
That's the guy he was saying. That you were good, well.
Yeah,
Anyway, I'm saying, you know, that you don't have no reason to feel that way.
You're very kind to say that, Robert, but it's obvious that there is something going on with my personality that causes me to shrink down, to hunch up in photographs. I don't want to stand out. I don't want to be big. It's kind of a funny thing because I have behaved in my life and really...
Now, we don't... You're starting, you know, General...
Yeah, you are starting to get into... It's speech time now. You're going to do a long monologue on how wonderful you are.
Does it sound like it to you?
Yeah, frankly, it does.
Well, you're not going to be talking about how wonderful you are, Phil, but you're...
All right, well, let me just say, you guys brought... Look at this. I'm hitting my microphone. I'm going to start...
He's clenching his fist again.
Excuse me. Let me just back up and say, you guys started this bullshit by bringing up the picture.
Excuse me for a minute. God damn.
That you're going to probably get a tongue.
Do we have
organized teams to fight Ebola in West?
Turn that down, will you?
Jesus, what the fuck was that?
We had it on mute, and mute. We had it on mute. We had CNN on mute, and now Carol Costello is on there. Turn that shit down, will you, bud?
I'm trying to. I'm doing the very best that I can with what the Lord gave me.
Give me that thing.
All of us are here, ready to go. We haven't seen more funding for us to pay for...
God!
Many of my...
Why is that not working, man?
Within my team are saying...
Is that the mute?
That's it.
Can I get home for Christmas?
That ain't mute, man.
Let's get those messages clear. Let's go back to those
That's mute. What you did is you rewound it.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah, you were rewinding it, bud. That's what that button does.
So we're just learning our DirecTV around here, so it's quite interesting. It's quite fascinating, quite fantastic. All right. So what do you want to do? You want to talk about this?
I think we need to get to the bottom of why you hunch it up and why you squish it down on the... Oh, you fucking...
Sorry, I forgot that I farted.
What does that mean, you forgot you farted? Get out of here, man. Get a fan going in here or something.
It'll make noise.
All right, well... So, look. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Yeah, that's my...
Well, I think if you get to the bottom of why you do that, Phil, I think it will begin to unveil, I think, some of the things that hold you back. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't really tell.
All right, well, be that as it may, on the program this morning we have Dean Wheeler, and we're also going to have a revisit from Chris Norton to tell us a little bit about his visit on the show yesterday. It got, it got a little weird because they were talking to a friend of theirs by the name of Dave Kavanen, and then they also had the music?
Well, yeah, they had that porn music.
That's right. They had that porno music that was the music of Dexter Cavan. So
my understanding is they're not related.
They're not related. Okay, that's nice to know. As far as that picture goes on the homepage of our website, go ahead and take a look at it. You tell me. I don't know. You tell me. We both guess, or I don't know. And in the news, as far as news goes, we had a Monday night game last night. We had some football happening here over the weekend, which, of course, I hope you did well. And I want to tell you, of course, about our friends at FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, which is where you are to go for all of your fantasy football needs. FanDuel.com is the place where you can choose your team by week. You can bet the league games by week. You can use a new team each week. You are not stuck with the same team all season long. and they've got $10 million or more that they are ready, willing, and able to begin to dish out to those of you who are fantabulous when it comes to that whole fantasy football thing, you know.
That's right. FanDuel.com is your one-stop shopping place. Now, this is General Galen Shaw. I've never done any of this. This FanDuel, this fantasy league. Is that what it's called, fantasy league?
Yes, essentially. Excuse me. Essentially, it's fantasy league. I'm sorry.
Margaret, that voice.
Phil, I'm doing the best I can.
Well, you're not doing good enough because...
Oh, my God, Phil.
Just, you know, if you're going to be on the show, then you got to clear that damn voice up. So anyway, General, as you were saying.
As I was saying, FanDuel.com is your one-stop shopping place for all of your fantasy football needs. Now, I didn't fool around with this. I thought only real numbnuts and jackballs fool around with that jackass fantasy. But I'll tell you something. I got into fantasy football with FanDuel.com, and last weekend... I won $500.
At FanDuel.com, right?
FanDuel.com? No, I won that in a bar. I got to get better at doing the fantasy football. But...
Well, you got to learn about the games and stuff.
I know about the games. I'm not familiar with the guys. That's the problem.
You won $500 in a bar bet on football?
No, playing pool. Now...
All right, thank you, General. So,
But I do play fantasy football at FanDuel.com. I love it. Oh, God, how I love it so.
There you go, folks. General Galen Shaw, he is one of many people that are discovering the joys, the absolute wonderment that is fantasy football on FanDuel.com. And again, $10 million, folks, in money is being awarded each and every week at FanDuel.com. You can't beat it with a stick. You can't beat it with your stick. That's FanDuel.com. So here's what I want you to do. Go to FanDuel.com. And click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and use the code HENDRI, H-E-N-D-R-I-E. That's HENDRI. The first 50 people to sign up will be matched dollar for dollar by FanDuel.com up to $200. So your dollar matched by their dollar up to $200 if you're one of the first 50 people to sign up at FanDuel.com using HENDRI, H-E-N-D-R-I-E. Head over there right now. That's FanDuel.com, FanDuel.com. All of your fantasy football needs taken care of right there at FanDuel.com. And I'll tell you, more and 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 more, all kind of people having fun at FanDuel.com. Do it today.
Fuck being on some chill shit.
All right, we're going to get Bob Akin or
not. Bob Akin, my understanding is Bob is still getting his headset on. And,
he's
fooling around with it. Don't say that. Bakin will get pissed off.
I don't know if Bob Bakin's still fooling around with it or not, but we're going to get some traffic here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Bob Bakin. God almighty, we were heading down to the Drunk History event on Saturday night, and the traffic... actually, the traffic was pretty good, man, until we got to... Where the hell were we? Until we got to downtown, near downtown on the Hollywood Freeway, and then everything just turned into a whole clusterfuck. All right, here he is, Bob Bakin with the traffic. Bob, how's it going?
This is Bob Bakin here right now. I'm telling you right now, I'm not fooling around with anything, bud. I don't think the idea is anybody fooling around with anything, but you talk about me fooling with it and probably yanking it and yanking my dick and pulling on. I'm not pulling anything. You can pull your own weight. Just be sure you pull your own weight here, Bob Bakin. Now get out here for Hollywood Freeway. Now, as we talk about, there's a non drop down. There's somebody out there with a bounce and we're going to the garden hose. But you got a garden hose, pull your garden hose out and play with your nozzle out there on the Hollywood Freeway down on the Harbor Freeway right now, where it looks like they're surviving the wild for the week. And there's a weak pad, there's a little kind of a weak-ass joke that are being told out there on the Harbor Freeway. And off the side of the road now, the car is parked in the car park, and they're in a car park. So they turn the entire side of the road there on the Hollywood Freeway and the Harbor Freeway there to the car park. And Bob Bakin, the traffic.
2008, I'm trying to paint the picture. Comeback season in the works. And
I guess that gets you in your place, huh? He said he wasn't pulling it or yanking on it, and I think...
that's the only part I understood.
I know Bob Bakin. He's very, very hardworking, and I know he's not up there yanking on it. I'm Margaret Gray. You don't have to applaud that, bud.
Yay.
You don't have to applaud that, bud.
Yay.
All right. Run for us, go for us. Yeah, I mean, thanks a lot, Drake. Phil Hendry Show. So, what the hell? Oh, yeah, that traffic going down to the Drunk History event was a real scream. It was a scream and a half. Actually, what happened was we were heading down, you know, going into L.A. on a Saturday night, man, I want to commit homicide.
Well, the whole thing about L.A., people are going everywhere. They got to do everything. They never get out of their cars. They're always in their car. If it was up to me, I would declare martial law.
General, we've talked about this with General Shaw. You don't declare martial law in a civilian... in a civilian area when there's no reason to.
Yeah, we can't declare it for.
There's too many assholes in their cars. How about that?
Well, I don't think that's a good idea, General. There are too many assholes in the car. How come all these people are driving?
They have every right in the world to drive.
They may have every right in the world to drive, as I have every right in the world to drive, but I agree with the General. It is getting to be a pain in the ass. And whoever it was that designed this city and whoever it was that was in charge of figuring out whether we were going to have... I remember, I know all the debates, you know.
Phil, you're not going to go down memory lane now on the debates over Metro Rail and the rapid transit.
Oh, yes, I am. Yeah, I think I will.
Well, I think it's about time.
Well, in this city of L.A., the city fathers, if they butchered anything, and there's a few things they carved up good, and I mean they carved it and left it to succeeding generations, it's the whole question of traffic. It's a fucking disaster. Okay?
Now, here comes the speech.
Maybe.
That's anyone. Maybe. Yeah, your left arm went up in the air, and then the right arm went down, and it was... like, you know...
Yeah, you look like maybe one of those guys in Pershing Square that pays, you know, plays chess for money, and then pays... They pay chess for money, and
then they panhandle for lunch money.
Yeah.
They play chess for money, and then they panhandle for lunch money. That's what I look like.
Yeah, when you went like this, hey, maybe... So...
Okay, so the guy are...
Yeah, the guy are... See, this guy... What you need, Phil, is you need adrenaline. You don't need coffee... You need a shot of adrenaline right in the heart, like that broad in, what's the name of the movie?
Pulp Fiction,
yeah.
Pulp Fiction.
Yes, it was Quentin Tarantino's triumph.
Well, you get out of here with that.
Quentin Tarantino's great film, how about that?
All right, Phil, Quentin Tarantino's good film.
So I need a shot of adrenaline in the heart like the chick in Pulp Fiction, and what else is wrong with you this morning?
Well, don't start getting bold.
Don't start getting hurt, Phil.
I'm not getting hurt. I just want to, you know, can I, you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the, shit. Oh, yeah, the city fathers of Los Angeles, if there's one thing they carved a new ass, it's the whole rapid transit and multi, and getting people moving around in this town. And you know, on a Saturday damn night, I'm coming in from out of town, as a lot of people are. They're going into L.A. for whatever reason. God knows these days, fuck it. It ain't even worth it, man. I don't care what's going on in town, man. Sometimes it's just like it ain't even worth it. The Drunk History event at the Festival Supreme, yes, it was.
Now, are you going to mention? I'm not going to start mentioning anything until I mention it. All right.
So the Drunk History event. So we're on our way into L.A. But the whole point that I'm trying to make here, folks, is the following thing, and then I'll keep my mouth shut, and I'll move on, and I'll do what my co-hosts here want me to do. And that is that when they built this Metro Rail, they did something fascinating. They sent the Metro Rail through the, you know, central corridor of Los Angeles, which is from the L.A. city down toward the harbor. Okay, great. Fantastic, wonderful, love you. Can't live without you. Then they sent it from... Union Station, which is downtown off of Olivera Street, and they sent it down Wilshire Boulevard through the Miracle Mile, through the business district of the downtown Los Angeles area. Fine, super, love you, can't live without you, great decision. Then they also sent it up into the San Gabriel Valley, up through Pasadena, and then out east through, among the other places that it visits, Arcadia, my hometown. So if I was still living in Arcadia, or if I was little Philip Hendry there all these years ago, and we had a Metro Whale, okay, anybody want to give me shit for that?
Yeah, I can't really pass it up.
No, when you go Elmer Fudd, Phil, we have to,
Yeah, it's a Metro Whale or something. Yeah.
Okay. Wesley Wabbit.
That's pretty funny.
What a simple-minded clown.
All right, thank you. So, we would have had a Metro Rail out there in Arcadia. Because the Metro Rail goes out there to Sierra Madre, Arcadia, Pasadena. It's beautiful. Beautiful. I don't live there anymore, but hey. You know, back when I moved out of there, I moved more toward Los Angeles, and that's kind of what happened to me. But where do you think they don't have the Metro Rail? Where do you think they don't send that rail? Oh, sure, they have the Orange Line buses and all that groovy shit that goes up into North Hollywood. But where do they not have the Metro Rail? Oh, I don't know. Only the part of Los Angeles that probably is more newsworthy than any other. Only that part of Los Angeles that was the topic of controversy in the film Chinatown. Only that part of Los Angeles that is an enormous, the enormous bedroom section of L.A. Only that part of L.A. that has, 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 million people in it? The San Fernando Valley? No. No, we don't need to send a Metro Rail out there. We don't need to send it, in other words, ladies and gentlemen, we don't need to send it west out of the city. We got to go in south. We got to go in west into downtown. We got to go in up to the north and to the east into the San Gabriel Valley. But right up there west into the San Fernando Valley, forget about it. Who needs that? Why would you even mention that? Oh, I don't know, because there's a shit pot load of cars out there on the 101 in the morning coming into town?
That's fantastic, Mr. Harry.
You know what? I got to hand it to you, Phil.
Well, don't start. Let's not start sucking each other's dicks just yet.
Jesus!
God, Margaret.
Well, I'm just quoting the great film.
I know, Pulp Fiction.
Yes, no.
Pulp Fiction.
That's Pulp Fiction, but you just said...
Never mind. So, what do you mean, let's not start...
What I'm saying is, let's hear the rest of what it is you've got to say.
Well, that's essentially it.
Well, Phil, I think that there were money considerations. I think that the city may have, or the bonding authority may have run out of money.
I don't give a shit. How about that? How about they take some of that Obama money and finish the damn job? Forget about this bullet train. What is this? Bullet train my ass. You would have had far more support for finishing a Metro Rail out into the San Fernando Valley and beyond. And don't give me this bullshit about there's good reasons for it. There's no good reason for it. If you drive in this town, you drive in a car in this town, Jack, it is readily evident to you that we need a damn rail heading west by northwest, by west-west, by southwest.
By east-west.
By east-west.
What?
You know,
Well, no, I don't.
Just let it go, Margaret. By, just a western spur, as they call it, like the San Antonio Spurs, and,
Janglin Spur.
Well, I call it the Janglin Spur.
Okay, call it the Jangling Spur. Call it anything you want, but get the damn rail build out there, because when you're driving in and you are looking at car after car after car, this is the, you know, and widening the freeway, the biggest joke of the year, as far as I'm concerned, is that 405. Are you sitting down for that one, folks? They have a...
Well, you were going to say, are you shitting me, but you decided to go with the cleaner word.
Yes, that's right, Margaret. Thank you very much for that.
Margaret, will you just let it go?
I think it's interesting the way Phil formulates his thoughts.
Actually, I like the term, are you sitting down, I think.
Well, it may be more descriptive now, but you had to really, you know, you had to improvise that.
Yeah. So, you know, I just was on the 405, this Carmageddon bullshit. You guys heard about this about 3-4 years ago. Carmageddon this, Carmageddon that, Carmageddon something else. Oh, man. Okay, so they widened the 405 there near the Screwball Center, as I call it, and going over the pass and down into the west side. Groovy. Who cares? Because what happens is when you widen the freeways around here, you add another lane, you do anything that you want, you could put a new freeway in. I don't give a damn. It just means there's more cars that are going to fill it. You know, like nature abhorring a vacuum. Go ahead and put in a freeway, and all the cars will, you know, people will buy more cars, there will be more commuting. You are encouraging commuting by way of automobile when you're putting in those lanes. And what you ought to do is start thinking like a damn adult about how you can put in more of that rail traffic.
Well, a lot of people are afraid of the subway and everything, and that... I'm not, but...
What are you afraid of subway for, man?
You know why, because the guy's got to pick your pocket and everything. And a lot of times, I will say it, I don't mean anything about it, Robert.
Don't do it, man.
Well, a lot of them are the color of you. And hey,
rip your damn nose off, man. He done that one more time, Mr. Emick.
Come on, bud. You know, you may think it's funny. It's not funny.
Well,
it is not funny, bud.
I'll tear your nose off, man. They don't have to tell you about funny. I'll just tear your nose off.
Everybody try to tear my nose off. Why?
Because it's the more readily available thing there is. Just grab your nose, pull it off, and that's the end of that, man. You can walk around with one of those steel noses that you've seen those guys wear, like that guy in Cat Ballou.
Are you kidding me or something?
Yes, he's kidding you.
All right. So yeah, that was the situation. It just drives me ape.
Well, I think that when it comes to rapid transit and mass transit in the Los Angeles, and let me tell you something, Phil. I've only been here. I haven't been here my whole life. I came here from, as you know, oh, and by the way, the University of Pennsylvania on Saturday, for the very first time, I saw them televised, and they were absolutely atrocious. They were an embarrassment to all the alumni. God damn them to hell. God damn them to hell.
Well, Margaret, they can't win them all.
The first game I've seen on television in years, and they were absolutely horrific. I wanted to weep. Do you know? All right, I better not say it. But no, I'm going to say it. I streaked a pair of slacks.
Jesus!
Don't you dare.
Margaret, well, you're the one bringing it up.
I streaked a pair of slacks, all right, watching that abomination.
So what,
But it was the Penn and who?
It was Penn and Yale, and they got beaten something like 59-0.
No, Ms. Ray, it wasn't that.
I don't know.
Well, we'll get, maybe Frank knows, but, yeah, Penn did play Yale, and they got their ass beat. Margaret is an alumnus of Penn, and I did see that kid, the poor kid who got hit, pretty hard, and they had him laid out on the field.
Yes, that was one of the Penn players, and we were all very, very concerned. But it appears that he was all right.
He was okay. In fact, I want to thank the gentleman for tweeting us from the game, because I mentioned it on Twitter, and I said one of the players is down, and they've left the helmet on, and that's never a good sign.
Well, why is that?
Because, you know, they're worried about the neck.
Are they?
Yeah, afraid the guy's going to be, be all Christopher Reeved up and everything.
Yeah, afraid the guy's going to crip.
Don't say he's going to crip, okay?
They were afraid of paralysis, all right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like a Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, like a Christopher Reeve, okay. So
that's everybody getting pissed off for.
Yeah, I was just trying to describe it.
Because you guys describe stuff like idiots. The guy was going to crip. So this poor boy was laying there, but he was fine. I mean, but you know what? Every time you see a guy that is on the field and he is laying there with his head still in the helmet and they're not moving him until they get a stretcher out there and they're immobilizing the head and the neck, you worry, because especially if you don't see any movement. And the thing of it was, as he laid there on the field, I didn't see any movement at all. I didn't see the kid move his hands. I didn't see him move his feet.
Well, they said that he was moving it later on. And that he was fine.
Yeah, I saw that, and I saw the announcement on television. In fact, they did it at halftime, but when you don't see them moving on the field, you kind of have that thought process going that maybe there's something more seriously wrong with them than was first the case. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, a very short break, and when we come back, we're going to have Dean Wheeler from Northern California, Dean, talking at length now about the second phase of his wife Emerelda's live performing up there in San Francisco, and of course the new band that they've hired. We had Dean on briefly last week talking about somebody who wants to get more into Emerelda's career. They have hired the new band, and they're living large and they're digging life. So we'll talk to him when we come back. Here's a new one called, I think it's called Soul Food.
Soul Food.
Yeah, and it's from, thank you very much, and it's from, who's this by? Oh, Big KRIT.
Oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm talking good eating.
World famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We'll be right back. I'm General Galen Shaw, retired United States Army.
Everything I see.
You want to make something out of that?
No.
All right, then back off of me. More. That's good.
That soul's on my mind.
Grandma's hands used to usher Sunday mornings, now before Sunday school. I hustle and I'm on it, I can't slow down now. A dollar and a dream in this life you live. You either the dealer or the fiend, leaning horizontal. The acrobats on the cone and they flip. So when them white vans pull up, shouted, we dip. Out of view, could have been a track star at the school, but it took the police just to get that fofo out of you. Dash, sprint, hurt, over those steel gates. They keep us in and keep folk out, but we don't feel safe. As we used the bat when we was in a booster, watching our uncles drink coolers, talking pound for pound bruises over real bones. Now it's sideways toting. How did Bobby Johnson hold it? Pull the trigger till the clip gone. Potato tip,
no potato salad. That American pie ain't even snap.
Out of in this world, just trying to make it. Everything I see, sometimes I can't take it.
A lot of controversy early on when we started doing this podcast. People say, well, you know, Phil, most of your listeners, a lot of your listeners are traditional rock and roll fans, and you playing all this hip-hop music is just going to turn them off. And I took that into consideration. I really did. But I always felt that the best thing to do is to be authentic and not to be some phony motherfucker. And my whole desire...
This MF, Phil.
Margaret.
Excuse me, but I thought I'd bring it up.
All right, thank you. My whole desire was not to do anything other than just kind of follow my instincts. And my whole reason, people ask, well, why are you listening to hip-hop? Why do you listen to metal? Why do you insist, Mr. Henry? Why do you insist on offending the sensibilities of a great many of your listeners? I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm trying to explore. I'm trying to discover. I'm trying to find out. I'm trying to stay connected in a lot of ways to where are we, you know, and as a country, as a society, as a culture, it's my job. And so much of the time, it's very difficult to keep up on so many different things, you know, especially when it's your job to do that. If I was just living in the world, it's very, very likely I never would have made a point of listening to hip-hop, although maybe I would have, because I'm always looking for something different to listen to, you know. But as it turned out, it was a important thing for me doing this show. And so, you know, in order to kind of affect that, in order to make that happen, I started listening to hip-hop and I don't know. It's about being authentic.
Well, when you say it's about being authentic, are you being authentic when you listen to that music, or are you posing?
Now, that's a good question. A lot of people want, oh, what are you trying to be, Phil? Mr. Hip-Hop and try to, you know, the one guy?
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, anybody that says to me, you know...
Yeah, you think those people are all phony baloney.
Well, no, but anybody that says to me, oh, I know why you're listening to that, Henry, because you want to appear as if you're relevant and you're posing like you're hip. Why don't you act your age? It's the reverse of act your age, as in act older, act your age. It's not really the reverse of anything.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going with that.
You talk about act your age, man, you got to act like you a classic rock fan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be a classic rock fan. I'm supposed to act my fucking age. And I'm supposed to sit here and listen to the same shit over and over and over and over and over and over again. And if I were to say to a lot of people my age, you know, Creedence Clearwater is fine, but, you know, it's not good enough. That music just wasn't good enough for me to listen to that shit over and over again. They get really fucking offended. I guess they get it just as offended if a hip-hop fan was standing there. And I said, you know what, I think Drake sucks dick.
Oh my! Well, you'd get a homophobic reaction there.
Well, I don't know. All right, so, but that's how that is, and what am I supposed to do about that? And am I going to get more listeners to our podcast? Am I going to get more listeners to the Phil Henry Show if I start playing Eagles music again, and I start playing Led Zeppelin again, and I start playing that shit again? I don't think so. I think, in fact, there probably would be, you know...
Well, now the people would be pissed off because you're a fucking phony. Excuse me for saying this.
General, what is with all of the F words this morning? All right, but I will continue to bring it up.
Fine.
What is the point of... You know what? Now, I forgot what I was going to say.
All right, well, instead of forgetting what you're going to say, why don't we just continue on with what it is we want to do here this morning. And we're going to get Dean Wheeler on the line, along with his wife, Emerald. Well, I don't know if Emerald is going to join us or not, but Dean's going to be talking with us here about the new album that she's going to be cutting. Now, I know that we have Chris Norton, right?
Yeah, Chris Norton's going to come on here maybe in a minute or so, but I'm not sure when.
You're not sure when. Okay, well, in any event, we got Chris Norton, who'll be coming up here in a moment because of his filling in on the show yesterday. And with us right now is our very close personal friend, Dean Wheeler. He is up there at the club at Little Nick's there in the East Bay. And I guess they're practicing right now, or they're rehearsing. Dean, how you doing this morning?
Oh, good morning, Phil. I'm doing fine. Yeah, it's called rehearsal. It's not called practice. But you can hear in the background, this is the a different incarnation of the band that we had hired for Emeralda last week. We had gotten Terry Hinson, and his combo. We fired them, and we have a new band. This is Jerry Sherrill, and he comes in from Moraga with a couple of guys. It's a pickup band, really. They play on the weekends at different clubs. But I discovered these guys at a kind of a soul food. It wasn't a soul food place. What was it, John?
Somebody they sell ribs.
It was a rib place, and on Sunday nights they had blues. And I said, you know what, I like the way you guys sound. My wife needs a backing band for her gigs. She's doing some gigs in the East Bay, and she's going to start touring California. And I said, can you, you know, go out and back her out on these gigs? And they said, let's give it a shot. So we've got them in the club right now doing a rehearsal. And this is my composition, Go With It. And you guys have heard this before. This is a song that is the one that I wrote for Emeralda.
Now, can I ask something?
Yeah, go ahead, General.
This song right here, this is Go With It. Did you say this is a new band?
Yeah, these guys sound like the old band.
That you're paying me a compliment. I told these guys how I want this song to play, and I told them how I want it to sound, and so far, yeah, I think they're doing it.
Well, I'm sorry, Phil.
Go ahead.
I was going to say,
Margaret has a little bit of a cold here.
Yeah, she's got a little bit of a cold every Monday.
Well, this is not Monday.
Well, okay, I'll ask the question, all right?
If you wouldn't mind.
What, I don't know what you were going to ask.
I was going to ask, when are we going to hear Emeralda sing?
Well, Emeralda right now is in the dressing room. She's attending to some other problems, some wardrobe problems. You know, we had a wardrobe malfunction of our own, and we aren't at this point sure whether it was someone that came up and pulled her pants down from behind. I'm pretty certain that it was, and that is another reason why we fired that band.
Now, that guy you hired because you really liked the fact that he was playing the horn and he wasn't obsessed with your wife.
That was what I thought. But the gig on Friday night, after the gig ended, and most of the crowd had left and we were on stage getting our equipment together, somebody came up from behind and pulled Emeralda's pants down. I think it was, and that's why we fired that band and came up with these guys. And go ahead, do it one more time. One, two, one, two, and a one, two, three, yeah. You guys aren't doing it on the downbeat, man. When I go, then they listen to me.
But so let me just get this straight. Somebody came up from behind your wife and pulled her pants down.
That's what we think.
Well, that would cause me to commit homicide.
Well, I did the next best thing. I fired the whole band, not just the horn player, who I do suspect is being the one that did it.
What is it with these horn players that you're hiring? They're pulling your wife's pants down. They're pointing the bell of the horn at her ass. They're doing every kind of inappropriate thing that one can think of. And at some point, you have to make the statement, bold and beautiful, your wife is encouraging it.
Yay! Oh, really? Yay! Really? Well, I don't think my wife's encouraging anything. That's a hell of a thing to say, Phil.
You yourself, Dean, suspected as much.
Hold on for a minute. He's on your mind. Great, yeah. Have some faith in me. Take a little time. I want these guys to get this right. Go ahead, keep going, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love the way they hit that. Just doon, doon. Did you hear that?
Yeah, we heard it.
Yeah, we heard it. What, are you jealous?
Oh, that's right, Wheeler. I'm jealous. I'm a retired Army general. But what I really want to be doing is playing horn in some pickup band at a deli that you found.
It was not a deli, it was a rib place, which is the next best thing to a blues bar, okay? A rib place.
All right, Margaret, is she okay?
Well, she's gone in to gargle or something.
All right, Margaret Gray is apparently has had to go in and gargle. I hope she's all right. Dean Wheeler is with us here on the Phil Henry Show as we talk about the pickup band that he hired for his wife, Emeralda, and I guess this is a new one.
Well, I didn't call it a pickup. Yes, I did call it a pickup band, but they were a pickup band. Now they are a legitimate, and I think a very terrific band, and I think they're, listen, I think this is a band that is going to go places.
I want to get to the bottom, if you don't mind.
We did not say get to the bottom. The guy came up and pulled my wife's pants down. God damn it. Mr. Henry, how are you?
Who's this?
This bar, and I want to get. I mean, this is my business partner, Bahram Farouk.
Mr. Harry, it's Bahram Farouk. How are you?
I'm fine, sir.
Mr. Wheeler is understandably very upset with the fact that his wife was assaulted in that way. And when you bring up the, you say, let's get to the bottom of it, it obviously makes him feel as if he's being targeted with a joke, like he's the butt of a joke.
I don't mean to make him the butt of the joke, and I should have probably been more sensitive. When I said get to the bottom of it, I wasn't thinking about his wife getting her pants pulled down.
Yeah.
Do you know who did it?
No, we don't know who did it, but we did fire the van. We think it was the saxophone player. They've had a very unlucky string of horn players in the band. But he was very respectful for a long time. We thought that he would be the man, that we had found the man, that we had found the musical group, you know, to back his wife.
Give me the phone. Yeah, we thought we'd found the guy, and then I see Emeralda standing there. She is absolutely pale. She is white from fear, shock, and embarrassment. And her slacks, underwear, everything down knee high. And let me just say this. She was wearing a very short, belly-exposing top. So guess what?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Are you all right, Margaret?
No, I'm not. I just heard this from outside.
Go back in there and gargle.
Would you please not say, go back in there and gargle? People have...
Margaret, what do you think we're doing, producing a porn movie?
I don't know.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to...
No, it's fine.
But that's what happened. So we fired the band. Emeralda grabbed her pants and had to waddle out of there.
You have got some real bad luck with that, man. I have to say that.
Yeah, absolutely, we have bad luck with it. And there's not a whole hell of a lot I could do about it, but all I could do is work this band. I'll work these guys until they drop. I'll work them until they die. I'll work them till their asses suck buttermilk to make sure that they do not...
What do you mean, their ass sucks buttermilk?
That's what I said. To make sure they do not, in any way, shape, or form, continue to embarrass me or my wife.
Well, this new band is so far working out.
So far, yeah. We had a gig Sunday night. We did another gig last night. Everything's great.
And the sax player?
They're all equals. I wouldn't know the sax player if I tripped over him in the dark and then kicked him in the head a few times. I don't want to know any of them. That's the mistake I made last time. Now, the name of this band when we discovered them was... What was the name of the guy that played horn? Come here, you want to... Mr. Henry, this is Bahram Farouk.
Yeah.
The name of the sax player was Buddy Frechette. And it was the Buddy Frechette combo. But now they're just called the Rondell, we can't call them the Rondell. They're called the Rondettes.
The Rondettes.
Yeah, give me the phone. Yeah, I'll give you the phone. I'll tell him. The Rondettes. I'll do it. I come from America. We named them after like what would be a classic surf name from the 60s. We named them after what would be a classic surf band from the 60s.
All right. Tell you what, guys. I'm going to take a very, very quick break here. We'll be right back, and we'll hear more from our fine-feathered friends here. Bahram Farouk, this is a gentleman who we have not met lately, or maybe we've never met him. I don't know. But Mr. Farouk is with us, and he is going to be talking along with Dean Wheeler about this situation, the new band that has been hired for Emeralda Wheeler, and how they're working out, and whether or not they will work out. Also coming up, we have a little visit from Chris Norton, who's going to tell us how things went yesterday on the show here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, as he was guest hosting and talking with his friends Dave Caveman and Justin Butterman. Right back, Phil Henry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. My voice sounds much better, doesn't it?
Yeah, whatever.
You're a, you know something, you're an asshole. No one had ever dreamed that we were this strong and we'd achieve this. So long, the doubt, and all believed it. And now, it's come for all to see, yeah. We've worked so hard, pushed every day now. See the blood. We've never been strong.
back, Phil Henry Show, and our show for this Tuesday morning. Very happy to have you with us here as we continue talking to our dear friends, Dean Wheeler, and right now they've taken a break, I think, at the club there. Dean Wheeler and Bahram Farooq, who is his partner, and these guys have been hooked up, I think, professionally now for a brief period of time. I don't think that these... that this is an association that's been a very long association, right, Dean?
No, Bahram and I first met here on, to be honest with you, on Friday night when I fired the group, and Bahram saw what was happening on stage, immediately tried to come to the assistance of Emeralda, tried to help her with her pants, but then I immediately stepped in and I said, you know, that's my job, not yours, and he understood.
Wait, he stepped in to try to pull your wife's pants up.
Yeah, he did. And I said, thank you very much, but guess whose job that is? And he went, yours? I said, bingo, give the man a cigar. But then I got to talking with him, and I realized that he was a well-meaning gentleman. You know, he had some money that he wanted to help capitalize our effort. And I thought, this may be the time to take on a partner. He seemed to be a very sharp guy. He seems to know what he's doing. He doesn't... He didn't talk too much. He knew who the boss was, which is me, and I always, well, I mean, Emeralda's the boss, but, you know how it is, Phil. You know, the wife, she's always the boss.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, okay. I thought I had a fellow compatriot male. I guess I don't.
No, I understand. But, you know, we're talking business like as in real business.
All right. So, but you know, Emeralda knows artistically...
Yeah, she is the artistic direction of the show of the act.
Yeah, I would say that, and I'm the business end. And when I said to Emeralda, in fact, I said, you know, honey, I am the business end, and she said, well, you're the end of something, and then she turned around and pointed at her. I can't believe my wife. She's
so she's.
What's so funny?
Nothing. It just seems. It just seems like that's such a disrespectful thing.
Thanks a lot.
Why do you blame him?
I don't know why I laugh.
Phil, he was trying to... There was a joke between a husband and a wife.
I know. I don't know why I laugh. I don't know why I laughed, but I did. The fact that he said, I'm the business end of things, and she said, well, you're the end of something, and then pointed at her ass.
I don't know what the... story is with her butt and everybody with the horn.
Well, maybe she's got a great ass.
Whatever if she's got a great ass. What's that got to do with anything, man? I mean, you're going to be a professional or not. You're standing on stage with a woman while she's singing. These guys that Wheeler has hired, it's been quite remarkable, I think, in this string of bad luck he's had. And I say that with all due respect, but it sounds like it's bad luck to me, man. Or it's just maybe it's bad management. You know, I hate to say that, but that's kind of what it appears to be. And this is a dude that has gone out and hired band after band, quartet after quartet, and they all do the same thing. They're up on stage flirting with his wife. And you made the point, Margaret, and I think it's very, very well made that she's encouraging it.
Well, that's what I think. And I've talked to her quite frankly, and I have said, how do you know you're not encouraging it? And you know Emeralda, she goes, what do you mean? That kind of thing, and flips her hair and turns around and starts fooling with her makeup again. So I am frustrated with her, almost as frustrated with her as Dean is. I do it, but I think as he keeps seeking out these more professional performers, I think he's going to see some relief.
Well, how do you figure you got a more professional? These guys he found in a rib shack. Now, I understand that there's, you know...
We'll talk about Rib Shack.
I don't know anything about the music business, but finding a band, a combo band, that plays, quote, blues in a Rib Shack on Sunday night... I don't know.
Everybody's laughing about it.
Because it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know how you can't laugh at it. All right, Dean Wheeler and Bahram Farooq continuing with us here from the Little Nickies there in the East Bay as they continue to... okay, the band is back on the bandstand. Dean?
Hi, Phil.
I apologize for laughing, and thank you for coming back on the line with us.
Well, you have to understand that, you know, I'm trying to get things right here business-wise for the group, and Emeralda making a joke, it's as if even she doesn't take her career seriously. And, you know, when when whoever it was that came up from behind and pulled her pants down on Friday night, and she had that look of shock and horror. I didn't tell you that as we were taking her off the stage, I tried to get a stretcher for her and to lay her on the stretcher because it looked to me like she was going to fall out from shock. She actually started laughing almost hysterically. And I said, I don't want to take any chances. We got a gurney out of the back. There'd been in the back of the club, they had one of those roll-away ambulance stretchers that they might have used for. I thought they used it for people that might have passed out or got sick in the club. And the club owner, Terry Henry, said that, no, they used it for bar fights and people that were seriously injured. They'd always have a gurney ready to roll them out into the street, and they could leave them there waiting for the ambulance.
Wait, hold on for just a minute.
Are you laughing again, Phil?
I'm sorry.
Okay, thanks so very deeply.
Well, you know, Phil, you bring these things on yourself.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Well, don't be sarcastic, Phil.
Oh, no, I'm not going to be sarcastic. You're right. I bring it all on myself. You're right.
You laughing about the fact they got a stretcher?
A stretcher? No, they got a gurney. They got one of those roll-away gurneys that they keep in the back of the club for bar fights so they can just put a guy on it and roll him into the street and wait for the ambulance?
Folks, you don't see the look on Phil Henry's face, but it's all squinched up like, maybe the ambulance? As if he just smelled something so fetid, so rank, and so corrosive that he is going to gag and die.
That's right. Only that's not really what that represents. It represents... It represents me laughing, man.
Well, I think it's too early for you.
It may be too early for me. It may be always too early for me. There may never be a time when it isn't too early for me. All right. We are going to take a break, and then we got Chris Norton coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, so stick around for that. Thank you very much, Mr. Norton. I do apologize for offending you and yours. I didn't mean to. I will try and do better next time, but hey, what are you going to do? You know, what's a brother to do? World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Please, Margaret, don't give me shit for saying that because it's only going to get worse. We'll be right back.
What's a brother to do? Did you hear what Mr. Henry just said? As if you qualify in terms of skin color to say something as meaningful as that.
Well, I did say I sent a message to our good, close, personal friend Horatio Sanz the other day, and I said, why don't you help a white, pasty Irish brother out? And he said, I'm on it. It's never on safety. I'm on it.
Yeah, I'm on it.
Yeah.
You know, why is it Linda Cohn on one of these shows, her breasts are larger than, now her breasts are smaller? I don't get it. Is it the push-up bra or...
What a thing to ask.
Yeah, General. That dude doing that death growl in there, that I don't think he does it good, man. You shouldn't do that, man. I think he's too old. Hear this. Hear this now.
An escape of all empire.
You gotta realize something glory you'll say. Forever will hold on.
Yeah, that sucks.
We break the chains of might. Independence of the fire.
Give up.
Thank God. Oh, I'm not the burning water.
All right, welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show. Joining us now from Hermosa Beach, California. They're actually on set, I think, and they're getting ready to, or previewing some music on set, getting ready to shoot a scene from a brand new film that he is currently working on. Now, you're not producing this, I don't think, Chris, is that right?
No, Missouri, I'm not, right now, I'm not producing. I'm actually just working on crew on this. It's called This one, is this called Steve 2? Yeah, this is called Steve 2, the rectuming. And,
Do we need to hear the...
Yeah, it's not a big thing. It's called Steve 2?
Yeah, Steve 2, the rectuming. It's, it features Steve Bone and, Todd. I forget who the other guy is in the film. We've got too many actors named Todd. I think you're going to have to change the name. Okay, it's none of my business. I'm not really. I'm just a crew member here, Mr. Henry, and they gave me a few minutes to talk to you on the air.
So I want to thank you for filling in for us yesterday. That was very, very kind of you. And also, it was interesting to hear your friends Dave and hear your friend Justin and kind of the way you guys relate. And Rick Feelett, who's the bartender over there, Rusty Pelican?
Yeah. Hold on. Yes, sir. I'm just using the phone. They're auditioning more of Dexter Cavan's music, dude. Do you want me to move away, or...?
No, it's fine. It's not interrupting us too much.
Yeah, it was cool to have... first of all, Dexter Cavan, who's the guy whose music this is not related to Dave Cavan. Dave Cavan is just a friend of mine. I want people to know that. Dexter Cavan and the band that is music you're hearing right now is featured in the film that I'm pulling cable on.
You're doing what?
I'm pulling cable. It's not, you know, a joke about pulling it. I'm pulling cable.
You're pulling cable. Yeah, I bet you're pulling cable.
Just shut up, man.
Okay, hold on. All right, so getting back to the show yesterday, Dave Cavan and Dexter Cavan, two different guys.
Dexter Cavan is the guy who does the music for a lot of the film. Dave Cavan, a friend of mine. Dave Cavan is not in the business. Justin Butterman was. But Justin Butterman was in the business for a very short time before he quit, and he started rebuilding. He had opened up a speed shop.
What was that he opened up?
He opened up a speed shop.
What's a speed shop?
A speed shop.
A speed shop. Speed shop, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so he starts started rebuilding engines and that kind of thing. That's Justin Butterman. Dave Cavan didn't. He just never was in the porn business.
All right, now, there were a couple of things that were addressed yesterday. One of them, I thought I heard Dave say, wasn't Dave at the bar?
Yeah, Dave was at a bar, and it was very early in the morning, as you well imagine, but they opened up early at the Rusty Pelican that I go to, and Dave Cavan was at a bar, and there were a lot of chicks that were coming in, and they were wanting to meet Rick Feelett. Rick Feelett is the owner. He's also the bartender, and he also does some adult films. Not a lot, but just some. And Rick was at the bar, so a lot of chicks wanted to see him, and Dave Cavan thought they wanted to come see him.
Right, and they kept blowing him off.
They kept blowing him, or...?
No, he said blowing them off, not blowing them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what they were doing. See, the problem is with Dave Cavan was he has the...
What is that affliction he has? It sounds... You said it's Tourette's related.
I think it's Tourette's related. He calls it a crick, where he talks and talks, and then his voice just cracks up.
Yeah, it goes like this. He goes, yeah, hey, my name's Dave Cavan.
Yeah, like I go, Dave Cavan? Like that.
Well, yeah, it's not quite like that.
It's similar to that, though, you know, and Dave has gone to the doctor and tried to get it fixed, but... There's no way, you know, no way at all. The doctor said you're going to be talking weird for forever, man, unless you get scared or something happens that just jars the whole brain. And I said to him, what if you just fell on your head or something like that? He goes, no, I don't think that's it. He says, I think that'd make it worse. He goes, but I need to get my brain, you know, he said, I need to have my brain just jarred. And he goes, and you know the thing will do it. I go, what? He goes, if I have just the best sex, if I get like the best, say, blowjob, well, can I say that, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
Oh, God.
I mean, if I get the best blowjob, what has ever been given, you know? And I'm like, well, good luck on that, man, because by the time any of the chicks around here want to have anything to do with you, we've run through them 1, 2, 3, 4 times. Me, Dave, you know, me, Justin Butterman, Rick Feelett.
Well, what does that mean, you've run through them? This kind of sexist talk, I think, is... Not only is it demeaning, I don't think it's actually realistic. I think you're speaking in a way that is not... Life doesn't work like that.
Well, I'm sorry, Ms. Gray, but life works that way around here for me. It's just plenty, you know, and I don't think that I'm speaking out of school. And Dave Caveman knows that by the time he gets around getting blowjobs from women around that Rusty Pelican, that Rick Phelan, just alone, has probably run through all of them, and then come, well, actually me first, then Butterman, then Phelan.
These are the names of the guys, huh?
What guys?
Your friends. These aren't the stage names, either real names?
Yeah, they're real name. I mean, Rick Phelan, that's his real name, and that was kind of lucky, but he's never been in a porn movie where anyone actually was feeling it. You know what I'm saying? They never capitalize on that name, you know?
Well, isn't that wonderful? So he didn't need his name. He could have been... What if his name was Rick Assfuck?
Dude, that's fantastic!
All right, thank you very much.
What is it with everybody's feelings this morning?
I don't know, Phil. They're getting... I don't think you guys are taking people seriously.
Well, this guy's saying about Rick Phelan, but they never capitalized on his name. I wonder if they would have capitalized on his name.
If his name was, you know...
Yeah, Rick Assfuck.
Yeah, what about if his name was Rick Blowjob?
Yeah, what about Rick Blowjob? Not Blowjob, Blowjob.
Yeah, what about it? What do you want from me, man?
I would have taken advantage of it.
Well, good for you, bud, so you can figure that one out.
Yeah, these guys... That whole business of the porn business, and I hear those guys don't get paid all that much.
Well, who needs to pay them all that much? Well, I guess it's...
Yeah, I'm kidding, man. Do you even have to be paid?
Yeah, you wouldn't have to pay me. I'd do it for free. I'd pay them.
Yeah, I'll bet you would.
All right, well, sorry, Chris, but, you know, you walked right into that one.
Boy, you tell me about... You talk about teeing it up. I hit that straight down the fairway, hole in one.
Hey! Goddamn right.
Hey, watch it, man. All right, thank you, Chris Norton. Thank you very much, our close personal friend there, Dean Wheeler. Thank you, Barham Farouk, who is his partner there at the, not at the club, his partner there in the enterprise of his wife's singing career. We thank all of you for being a part of the show. We're going to, as this is our performance week, and we are at the Ontario Improv tomorrow night. That is Wednesday night. Show starts at 8 o'clock. Get your tickets now, man, because we're going to be out there. And by the way, I just talked with the guys at Sketchfest in San Francisco. That's going to be in, I think, late January, early February. We're going to do two shows up there the same night. So this is going to be well worth it. You're going to get two shows on a Friday night, the date to be announced, from the world of Phil Hendry at the San Francisco Sketchfest. We're looking forward to it, just as we're looking forward to our show tomorrow night. I hope you guys are going to join us. And if you can't make it tomorrow night, please be advised that, you know, we'll let you know what our next show is, but we're going to be involved in some, well, I don't want to say, but some rather serious undertakings having to do with television.
Yes, 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 Phil, we know.
Yeah, we know how that TV pilot thing goes.
Well, so anyway, we'll keep you guys apprised of that. See you tomorrow morning, guys, for our Wednesday show. We'll see you Wednesday night at the Ontario Improv, and then back here Thursday, Friday. I believe Thursday, Friday, I'm doing either one of two things this weekend. I'm either going down toward Orange County. Yes, that's what I'm doing. Either Orange County, Las Vegas, or Chicago. I don't know which.
What are you talking about?
I'm just telling you. That's how things are shaping up here this morning. All right, here's the end of the show is what this is. The Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. We'll see you guys tomorrow, okay? Don't forget a backstage pass.
I got your backstage pass at the Phil Hendry website, philhendryshow.com. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on the Sideshow Network. I'm General Galen Shaw.
Yes?
I'm General Galen Shaw. Oh, come at me. Your move.
Pussy power. coward. I tell him if he ain't ballin', he should hit the shower. If I pick you, you lucky, baby, this money hours. All yellow gold on me like I'm Trinidad. Sitting drop top, wondering where the ceiling's at. I know my old thing, wanna bring the feeling back. But I got a new thing, baby, I ain't feeling that now. Can't you see that everybody wanna put their hands on me? See, I be on this money while your man on me. And I need another hand with all these bands on me. Wait.
Make you beg for it.